بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، وقد روي في الخبر عن الصادق الأبرار عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: لا عدوى ولا طيرة ولا حامة ولا صفر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. After Asr we're discussing that in our Islamic Sharia there is no scope for entertaining superstitions. Superstitions have no place, no role in our deen, but yet it is something that is common, abound throughout the world, in many societies, in fact throughout the ages too. The previous nations, they also used to have superstitious beliefs. It is mentioned in the Quran about the people in the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. فَإِذَا جَاءَتُمُ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِي وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَطَّيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ. That when good comes to them, then they say, قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِي. This is due to our own accomplishment, due to our doing. We have seen good fortune. They would attribute the good fortune to themselves. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ. And if a calamity befell them, they would say, يَطَّيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ. They would say it is because of bad luck that has come to us by Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his followers. They have brought this calamity onto us. They would consider Musa alayhi salam and his followers as a bad omen for them, a bad sign for them. Whereas whatever takes place with the word of Allah, with the decree of Allah. As we heard in detail after the Asr Salah, we believe that whatever good or evil that is, whatever good fortune or calamities there may be, they all take place with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is our fundamental belief also. In Iman Mufassal, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ ta'ala. That taqdeer, destiny, whether it is good or whether it is something of a calamity, it all takes place with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the ahadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us a very beautiful dua. That if we make this dua with understanding, inshallah, our aqidah will be kept on the right track. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us a dua. You should make dua. Allahumma la ya'ti bil hasanati illa ant, wa la yadfa'u sayyi'at illa ant, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That, O Allah, it is only you who can bring goodness to us. Goodness only emanates from you. And it is only you who can repel evil from us. Only you can ward off calamities and difficulties from us. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no power, no strength to bring good or to avert calamities except in the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a controller of the entire universe. He decides where favorable conditions should come down and which people should be afflicted with adverse conditions. All this is from the decree and the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why in the hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallam says, At-tiharatu shirkun. That to have superstitious beliefs, that is a form of shirk. Because in that case, we are attributing the calamities to time, place and events. Whereas whether it is good fortune or calamities, everything should be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala sends down the conditions. We spoke about many superstitions after Asr Salah, apart from those which we discussed already. There are many other superstitions that used to abound in the pre-Islamic era. And many societies even believe in these superstitions till today. For example, in the pre-Islamic era, people would believe that if an owl had to come and perch itself onto the roof of a family, they would believe that now someone in the family is going to die. Whereas life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mere coming of an owl or the owl screeching at night does not denote that someone is going to die in the family. That is a totally absurd notion that should be banished. Some Arabs used to believe that if a murder took place in a certain community and people do not know who the murderer is, then the soul of that murdered person would come in the form of an owl, and that owl would screech, making sounds as if baying for the blood of the murderer. That until the murderer is not brought to book, until then, that owl will not disappear. So these were the concocted and preposterous beliefs that these people used to harbor. In the Quran, time and again, Allah Ta'ala says, "Anna yu'fakun," that which direction are they headed for? How can these people have such preposterous beliefs? Their yaqeen, their tawakkul, their reliance, their trust, their dependency should be solely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another type of superstition that even today is prevalent, that people attribute certain events to the movement of the sun, the moon and the stars. Till today you see people. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even elaborated on this, clarified that no event can be connected with the movement of the sun or the moon or the stars. In the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a solar eclipse took place. And it so happened, Allah Ta'ala decreed that on that very same day, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beloved son Ibrahim, he was just born, and after a short period of time in infancy, he passed away. People in the days of Jahiliyyah had a false notion that a solar eclipse takes place when a distinguished personality dies or someone prominent is born into the world. So Allah Ta'ala decreed that a solar eclipse took place on the very same day when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's beloved son Ibrahim passed on. So some people even made comments that who can be more distinguished than the son of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Perhaps the solar eclipse took place because of the demise of the son of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after Nabi sallallahu alayhi performed the Salatul Kusuf, the Salah prescribed on the occasion of the eclipse of the sun, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa stood up, addressed the gathering, and made it clear to them that إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَان مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَا يَنْكَسِفَانْ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ إِنَّهُمَا آيَتَانْ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا عِبَادَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ. That the eclipse of the sun and the moon does not take place because of a death of a prominent personality or the birth of someone prominent. These are merely signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby Allah Ta'ala wishes to keep mankind vigilant, to strike fear in the hearts of men, to understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the being that can cause the light of such a powerful creation, like the sun, to fade away, then for Allah Ta'ala to destroy the entire world, the entire mankind, that is very, very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the reason for solar and lunar eclipses, that we ought to turn to Allah Ta'ala, to ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us from elements, from the dangers of the world, to protect us from His punishment, whether it is in this world or the Akhirat. The wisdom is to draw us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to now create within us that feeling, that superstition, that yes, because there is a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse, that is why it means someone prominent is born in the world, or someone prominent has left the world. That is not the case. So what the superstition about the owl to, Nabi Salim says, La hamata, there is no reality in this superstition connected with the owl, that the owl screeching denotes that someone will die. So similarly, the eclipse of the sun or the moon does not denote that someone going to die, or someone going to be born into a prominent family. These are merely signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the occasions that we ought to turn to Allah ta'ala to seek His protection and His refuge. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ شَيْئًا مِّنْ هَذِي الْأَفْزَاعِ فَافْزَعُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That when you see this frightening phenomena, then turn in ibadah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek His refuge, seek His protection. So people used to attribute these events to the movements of the sun and the moon, which is totally baseless, unfounded. And then we see people going to fortune tellers, and they have the notion, the belief, that na'uzu billah, these people can foretell our future. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sounded a severe warning in the hadith, Man ata kahinan faqad kafar, aw kama qala li sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person who goes to a fortune teller with the belief that he will tell me my future, I will get direction in life, such a person has committed kufr. There is also a type of shirk. لا يعلم الغيب إلا هو. Only Allah Ta'ala has knowledge of the unseen. The fortune tellers cannot tell you what is to happen in the future. What will your future life be about? So similarly is the case with regard to stars. What the stars foretell, horoscopes, astrology, that because you are born under a certain star, so to say, depending on the month that you are born, according to the dates, you fall under, for example, Taurus or Sagittarius, Aquarius. Then people purchase newspapers, and the first page they will turn to is the page of horoscopes, what the stars foretell, wanting to know their future. There's also a type of shirk. It is also a superstitious belief to feel that because you are born under a certain star, this is how your future will be ironed out for you and shaped out for you. Totally baseless. Nabi Akram Sam dispelled this notion also. Even in pre-Islamic times, the Arab nation had this notion that the setting of a certain star brings about rain, whereas Allah Ta'ala sends rain. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Allah Ta'ala sends down the rain. So these people had a belief that there are 28 stars, a galaxy of stars in the sky, known as the Manazil al-Qamar, because they revolve in close proximity to the moon. They are known as Manazil al-Qamar. 28 stars. They go through a cycle throughout the year. That of these 28 stars, after every 13 nights, one of these stars sets in the western horizon, and immediately another star rises in the eastern horizon. A continuous cycle, every 13 days. So if you multiply 28 by 13, it gives you 364. That's the amount of days in a year. So throughout the year, this cycle continues. Allama Abu Ubaid, rahmatullahi, says, the Arab used to refer to the setting star as Naw'un, which is also another name for a star. And Allama Zujaj, rahmatullahi, says, the rising star would be called Barih. So they had this belief that the setting of a certain star brings upon us rain. And they used to attribute it directly to the star. That mutirna bi naw'i kada. That a certain star's setting has sent rain upon us. Whereas Allah Ta'ala sends the rain. When the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah took place, Sahaba-i-Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were camped out with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the plains of Hudaybiyah. One night it so happened there was overnight rain. In the morning when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam completed performing the Fajr Salah, Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were behind him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned to his beloved companions, he addressed them and said to them, after the overnight rainfall, أَتَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Do you know what your Rabb has said? So the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in replied, قُلْنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Allah and His Rasul know better that what is Allah Ta'ala said about the overnight rain. So then Nabi Kareem said, فَقَالَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى أَصْبَحَ مِنْ عِبَادِي مُؤْمِنٌ بِي وَكَافِرٌ بِي. That my servants have got up this morning and they are divided into two categories. Some are those who have proclaimed iman upon me, they believe in me in totality, and there are others who have made kufr, disbelief. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala further goes on to say, in Hadith al-Qudsi, that وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وبرزق الله وبرحمة الله هو مؤمن بي وكافر بالكوكب وأما من قال مطرنا بنجم كذا وفي رواية بنوء كذا فهو مؤمن بالكوكب وكافر بي أو كما قال. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah Ta'ala says, those people who after seeing the rainfall, they attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, rain came down upon us due to the grace of Allah, the mercy of Allah. As a means of provision, Allah has sent down the rain for crops to grow. Such people, Allah Ta'ala says, have brought true iman upon me, and they have made kufr, disbelief with the stars. As for those people who say that the setting of a certain star has sent the rain down upon us, they have brought iman on the stars and they have proclaimed disbelief with regard to the creator. So people used to attribute these weird beliefs even to the stars. Today people spend thousands of rands in purchasing magazines dealing especially with horoscopes to see what the stars foretell, and they pour through those magazines that, so to say, na'uzubillah, predict their future, that today or this week is going to be a rosy week for you, your business will thrive, put your money on a certain horse, you will win. And the person, foolishly, very gullibly, goes to the tatter stalls and squanders thousands of rands on that horse. Or he sees his horoscope, go to the casino, play the slot machines, buy a lotto ticket, tata ma chance, tata ma millions, and the person goes ahead Thousands of rains are squandered. To no avail. They will starve, they will make their children starve. But they will spend hundreds of rains on these lotto tickets. Because the horoscope said that this is your lucky week, you will get a windfall of thousands, millions of rains. So like foolish, gullible people, they go out and squander thousands of rains. In fact, recently, a scientific investigation was conducted with regard to this industry of horoscopes. They did a field study of about 2,000 young men who were born more or less in the same year, in the same month. That when children are born, even then, the horoscopes, so to say, predict their future, shape out the career for them. This is how much money he will earn. This is the profession he will have. This is the amount of children he will have. So they did a detailed study on these 2,000 samples. And they read up the horoscopes with regard to that particular dates of birth. And they found great disparity from individual to individual, where it was predicted that a certain person will find a successful career, he will have a successful family life, he will have many children, there, zilch. Nothing whatsoever. No career, no prosperous business, no family, no children. Whereas with those with regard to him, to whom there were ominous predictions, they turned out to be successful. So they reach a conclusion that this is a fraudulent industry. This horoscope industry. No basis whatsoever. Totally unfounded. And this is what Nabi Akram Sam taught to us centuries ago. They do not harbor superstitious beliefs, whether it is to do with the month of Safar, which we discuss in detail after Asr already, whether it is to do with the owl, whether it is to do with the sun and the moon, whether it is to do with the stars, totally unfounded, totally baseless. Allahumma la ya'ti bil hasanat illa ant, wa la yadfa'u sayyat illa ant. It's only Allah Ta'ala who brings good, or who can avert calamities from us. People follow this, what the stars foretell. Whereas one poet says beautifully, Ye sitare teri taqdeer ki khabar kya denge? Ye sitare teri taqdeer ki khabar kya denge? Ye to khud gardish aflaq mein hai, khar o zubu. Then how can these stars predict your future? Where the stars themselves do not know their own future. When is the star going to fall out of the sky? Those falling stars that we see. When will the lifespan of the star be terminated? When will it drop out of the sky? The skies don't know their destination, their future themselves. How can they predict for us what our future is going to be? So totally baseless. So many of these type of superstitions, totally shunned, condemned by our Sharia. When the liberation of Makkah took place, prior to that, if you read our Islamic history, in the 6th year of Hijri, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed. There was a cessation of hostilities, laying down of arms between the Muslims and the Quraysh of Makkah. And this peace treaty was supposed to last for 10 years. But slowly but surely, the Quraysh of Makkah, they began to break many conditions of the agreement. They went against the peace treaty, with the result that Nabi Karim Sa'azam had to call the peace treaty to an end. One of the reasons why the peace treaty ended prematurely. When the peace treaty was signed, there were some mushrik clans, tribes on the outskirts of Makkah. Two of them were prominent, Banu Bakr and Banu Khuza'a. So they were given the option to either align themselves with the Quraysh of Makkah, with the mushrikeen, or the Muslimin. Banu Bakr opted to align themselves with the mushrikeen of Makkah, and Banu Khuza'a, they became the allies of the Muslimin, although they were mushrikeen in belief, but they aligned themselves with the Muslims. Before the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, even though in the days of Jahiliyyah, Banu Bakr, Banu Khuza'a used to be at each other's throats, tribal feuds, but when Islam gained prominence, then they made their common enemy, common target, the Muslimin, and their feud ended. But now because Banu Bakr aligned themselves with the Mushrikeen, Banu Khuza'a with the Muslimin, so once again, the war commenced. And when the fighting commenced again, one of the conditions of the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah was that if Banu Bakr and Banu Khuza'a happened to resume their hostilities, then neither were the Mushrikeen of Makkah assessed the Banu Bakr, and neither were the Muslims of Medina assessed Banu Khuza'a. So the Muslims played their part, they kept to their word, but the Mushrikeen of Makkah began to assist the Banu Bakr against the Banu Khuza'a. In fact, people like Ikrama bin Abu Jahl, Safwan bin Umayyah, and Suhail bin Amr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, I say radiallahu anhu because later they became Muslims. At that point of time, they were still mushriks. They actively went and assisted Banu Bakr against Banu Khuza'a. So Banu Khuza'a took the complaint to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara that this is what is happening. So Nabiya Kareem Sam sent a message to the chieftains of Makkah, giving them three options. One is this, that you have killed many people in the Banu Khuza'a. Option number one, that you pay the blood money for the people that you have killed. And number two, you have to distance yourself from the Banu Bakr. Stop assisting them. If these two conditions are acceptable, pay the blood money, distance yourself from the Banu Bakr, well and good. If not, then proclaim that the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah is now severed, it is broken. So in that fervor, in that josh, like we would say, one of the chieftains sent a message to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we are choosing the option of terminating the peace treaty. So when the news came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, well and good, let us make preparations now, proceed with the army, we will go to liberate Makkatul Mukarrama from the clutches of the mushrikeen. But after they send the message of terminating the peace treaty, they realized the folly of their ways, they were embarrassed that we made the wrong decision. So they appointed Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, who was as yet not a Muslim, to go to Medina and to renew the peace treaty, to say we have made a mistake. When he came to Medina, he first got off at the home of his beloved daughter, Ummul Mu'mineen, Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. When he entered the home of his daughter, Nabi Karim Sa'asim bedding was open. He proceeded to sit on a bedding. Before he could sit, his daughter rolled up the bedding and put it one side. So he was surprised. He said, oh my beloved daughter, the custom of the world is that if a father comes to visit his daughter, even if the bedding is not rolled out, she will make sure that she rolls it out. Yeah, the bedding was rolled out and you put it away. Tell me, is this bedding not worthy of me? Or am I not worthy of the bedding? The daughter replied, that, oh my father, respectfully, I have to say that you are not worthy of this bedding. Because you have kufr in your heart. And this is the bedding of Nabi Akhir al-Zaman, Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you have the temerity to sit on this bedding? This was true love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A depiction, practical implementation of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that none of you can be a true mu'min until you have more love for Rasul Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم than the love you have for your parents, for your children and for all of mankind. So yes, she displayed that love in spite of he being her father. She did not allow him to sit on the bedding of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nonetheless, when the Muslim army came towards Makkah al-Mukarrama, and they camped at a place called Marwa al-Zahran, on the outskirts of Makkah al-Mukarrama, it was nightfall, because of the cold weather in the desert, Nabi Sallam allowed them to light fires to warm themselves and for cooking their food as well. Some of the people of Makkah, the chieftains, like Abu Sufyan radiallahu talan, Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu talan, these people thought, let us go towards Medina to see if the Muslims are making preparations to attack our city. They were unaware that the Muslim army was already on their doorstep. When they went out in the distance, they saw all these fires lit. So each of them gave their opinion that perhaps it is the fire of a certain tribe. While they were still discussing among themselves, bodyguards, watchmen of Nabi Karim Sa'asim, spotted them and arrested them. Then Nabi Sa'asim allowed Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala to give shelter to Abu Sufyan. He gave shelter to him. He stayed overnight. Just that one night stay in that mahal environment of the Muslim army was sufficient to bring him towards Islam. He saw the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in engage in ibadah throughout the night. He saw the respect they had for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obedience towards Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw the sense of brotherhood amongst the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. He was so much touched with this that that was sufficient for him to come in the morning to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, I'm prepared to read the Shahada. And he accepted Islam. This shows how important it is to change one's environment. The Tablighi Jamaat. Alhamdulillah. Allah make the work successful, make it grow from strength to strength. That is what they tell us. Change your mahal. Change your environment. Come into an environment conducive towards bringing you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll recognize your creator. You'll recognize your duties towards him. You'll become a better Muslim. So look at this. One night was sufficient. Change of mahal. And these people accepted Islam. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu ta'ala, and others. Sumama bin Uthal radiallahu ta'ala was also taken into captivity by the Muslims. He spent 3 days in Madinah Munawwara as a prisoner. That was sufficient for him to enter the fold of Islam when he saw the beautiful environment. Nonetheless, when the army now proceeded towards Makkah al-Mukarrama, Nabi Sallam said to Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, let Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala stand on top of a certain mountain. As our army goes through the mountain pass, let him observe the army. So he observed and he was astonished himself that such a huge amount of people have entered the fold of Islam and coming to Makkah al-Mukarrama victoriously. The flag of the Ansar was in the hands of Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala. As he went past Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, he let out a war cry that Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama, Al-Yawma Nastahilul Kaaba. That today is a day when we will deem permissible to even fight in the precincts of the Kaabatullah. Today is a day for seeking revenge against the atrocities of the mushrikeen. When Abu Sufyan radiallahu heard this, he became very perturbed. And he said to Nabi Sallam that if people are going with this such fervor, they're going to finish all the people of Makkah. I'm not happy at this war cry. When Nabi Sallam heard the war cry, Nabi Sallam agreed with him. He took the flag and gave it to the son of Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala. Son's name was Qais bin Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala. And he said to him, you change the war slogan. Now you rather say, Al-Yawma Yawmul Marhama. Al-Yawma Nasta'azimul Kaaba. Not Nasta'ilul Kaaba. Al-Yawma Tuksal Kaaba. That today is the day of showing mercy and compassion. Not the day of seeking revenge. Today is the day when we will maintain the sanctity of the Kaabatullah. Today we will put a ghilaf, a cover over the Kaabatullah, to show respect. So then Abu Sufyan al-Dawn became pacified. Nabi Sallam made him happier. He requested Nabi Sallam to grant amnesty to the people of Makkah. Nabi Sallam said, "Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fa huwa aminun." The person who goes into the house of Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, he will be given amnesty. Abu Sufyan radiallahu said, "My house is very small. Very few people will get into the home. Give a bit of more leeway." So Nabi Sallam said, "Man dakhala Masjid al-Haram huwa aminun." The person who goes into the Masjid al-Haram of Makkah and seeks refuge, we will give him amnesty. Abu Sufyan al-Dawn said that the space in Masjid al-Haram is also limited. So then Nabi Sallam said, "Man aghlaqa babahu huwa aminun." The person in Makkah who goes into his home, locks himself inside, self-imposed curfew, he will be given shelter, he will not be harmed. Then Abu Sufyan al-Dawn became happy. When Nabi Sallam entered the city of Makkah, he did not enter like other kings of the world. Haughtiness, pride, no. Nothing of that whatsoever. Nabi Sallam entered Makkatul Mukarramah with his head lowered, in total humility, reciting verses of Surah Fatah, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina," where Allah Ta'ala gave glad tidings that soon you will see this manifest liberation of Makkatul Mukarramah. And this was the day when Nabi Sallam was shown that today we have liberated Makkah. It has become part of Darul Islam. Nabi Sallam went into the Kaabatullah, made some ibadat, emerged. People were gathered there. No place to stand in Masjid al-Haram. They expected Nabi Sallam to put them all to the sword. So Nabi Akram Sallam asked them, that what is your first opinion? Mada taraun inni fa'ilun bikum. That what do you feel that I'm going to do with you? So they said, "Khair, we have only hope of good from you." So Nabi Sallam said to them, "La tasriba alaykum al-yawm, idhabu antum al-tulaqa." That today we will not take any revenge from you people. We have forgiven you for all the past atrocities. You are free to go. Imagine the mercy and compassion of Nabi Karim Sallam. It had such a tremendous effect. The entire inhabitants of Makkatul Mukarramah, save for a few individuals who fled, practically the whole city came into the fold of Islam. So this is the point that I was coming to. When Nabi Sallam entered the Kaabatullah, there were idols inside, 360 idols outside. Nabi Sallam had a stick in his hand. He pushed all the idols down, saying, "Ja al-haq wa zahaq al-batil." The true deen has come to Makkah, and batil will now perish. When he went into the Kaabatullah, The Mushrikeen had some of the idols there too, statues. Nabi Sallam had them removed. One statue that was removed, maybe they had an inscription that this was the image of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And that statue was made, formed in such a way, carved in a way, that it had a quiver with arrows in his hand. When Nabi Sallam saw this, he said, how can they attribute this to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Which the Quran mentions, أَن تَسْتَقْسِمُوا بِالْأَزْلَامِ. To read your future by way of divining arrows. There's also a superstition that the mushrikeen were involved in. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Nabi of Allah. He could never have harbored, entertained these superstitions. What did this superstition entail? Similar to the superstition of the bird, which I mentioned after Asr Salah. Person wants to embark on a journey. He sees a bird perched on a tree, shakes the branch. If it flies in that direction towards the right, there will be benefit in going on the journey. If it flies towards the left, they would remain put at home and not go on the journey. So here too, the caretaker of the Kaabatullah in the days of Jahiliyyah had this quiver in which there were about 7 arrows. A person wanted to embark on a journey, would go to the caretaker, pay a sum of money, and that person, the caretaker, would take out that quiver of arrows. On some arrows was written simply Na'am, yes. On some La, no. Some were blank. Some Mufassirin have given more detail, that there were more inscriptions, more sentences written, but we'll keep it simple. Let's say it was just yes, no, and blank. So the person wants to go on a journey, he pulls out an arrow. If the arrow with the word Na'am, yes, comes out, it means yes, I should go on the journey. If the arrow no comes out, it means there is going to be some calamity, I must remain seated at home. If a blank arrow comes out, he gets a further chance to pull out another arrow that either says yes or no. So this was also a superstition. This was a point I was coming to, that al-istiqsam bil-azlam, that to take out a person's future by means of divining arrows, this also has no basis in Islam whatsoever. There is also a type of shirk. So nonetheless, very important, we place our trust, reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I mentioned, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu used to say, that وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يُذْهِبُهُ بِالتَّوَكُّلِ. That even we sahaba radhiyallahu anhu ajma'in, there was a time when even we entertained such superstitions. But due to the spiritual nurturing of Nabi Karim Sawasam, Allah Ta'ala placed such tawakkul, reliance, dependence in our hearts, that Allah Ta'ala removed all these baseless beliefs from our minds, from our hearts. Total. So that is important, tawakkul. That whatever takes place with the will of Allah. He is a doer. He does. We can do nothing. We need to please Allah. Do good actions. Allah will send down favorable conditions. Do rotten actions, adverse conditions. A'malukum, ummalukum. Your actions are your rulers. Your actions determine the type of conditions that will descend upon you. We should take a cue from our pious predecessors. The amount of tawakkul they had. The amount of reliance they had on the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person like Hazrat Maulana Shah Amrohi rahmatullahi, Amroha, a place near Muradabad, a great buzurg used to live there. He was running a hifz class there in the town. He had no fancy madrasa like we have today. It was a makeshift hut put together, simple structure. He would sit beneath that hut with the children around him, learning the Quran, many of them becoming hafiz. One day, a certain hermit happened to go through the town. When he noticed Hazrat Maulana Shah Amrohi Rahmatullahi sitting under the simple structure, so he went up to him. This hermit was also a wali of Allah. Allah had blessed him with the ancient formula of alchemy. Alchemy meaning a certain formula, a liquid. If it is poured over ordinary stone, the stone can turn into gold. So he went up to Shah Amrohi Rahmatullahi and said to him, I have this ancient formula of alchemy, kimia, in this vial, in this bottle. Let me leave it with you. Turn some stones into gold. Build a beautiful madrasa, beautiful building. So the Shah Amrohi said to him, okay, leave it on the shelf behind me. There was a shelf behind him. He left it there. After a complete year passed, this hermit happened to come through the same town. He thought to himself, let me pay a visit to Shah Amrohi Rahmatullahi. By now, he must have turned many stones into gold and used the gold to build a beautiful structure, beautiful building, beautiful madrasa. When he went to the same spot, he found the same makeshift hut. The simple structure. No beautiful fancy building. And he went up to him and said, Hazrat, what happened to that vial which I left with you? So he said, I even forgot about it. They looked at the back on the shelf. It was still there, intact. So he asked him, Hazrat, why did you not use this? So he replied, Allah Ta'ala gave me a wealth that is more valuable than this, and that is qana'at, contentment. Allah Ta'ala made me content with what I have, that is sufficient for me. I do not need a fancy madrasa, fancy building, fancy structure. This is sufficient for me. One buzruk had a break-in. Robbers got into his home and stole whatever they needed to steal. When someone reported it to him, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But then he did not despair. He looked at the positive side of it. Asa an takrahu shay'a wa huwa khayrun lakum. Sometimes you dislike something, but there is some khair in there. That is the way our mindset should be. He said to the person that reported to him, that if thieves broke in and took something from my home, no matter how valuable the item may be, I make shukr that they restricted themselves to taking things of the dunya. If a thieving, conniving thief, like the shaitan had got hold of me, he could have perhaps snatched my very iman. The things of the dunya have vanished, but my life is intact. My iman is intact. Otherwise shaitan works overtime to snatch people's iman away. So this was the yaqeen, the tawakkul, reliance, dependence these people had. One buzurg was walking through the streets of a town. Someone from the balcony overhead was doing a bit of spring cleaning. And there was a whole bag of dust and sand which they threw down from the balcony. The buzurg, pious person, was passing. It fell onto his head. Some people said to him, why don't you go upstairs and find out who did this? Take him to task. So look at the reply he gave. A wali of Allah. But he said that because of my burden of sins, I deserved that a ball of fire should fall on my head. This was only a bag of sand that fell onto my head. Allah Ta'ala protected me from a worse punishment. So look at this. Always looking at the positives. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, while riding on horseback, he happened to lose balance and he fell off. He made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shukr that this calamity was only restricted to falling of the horse. Perhaps due to this, Allah ta'ala averted from me far worse calamities. So always looking at the positives. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, was walking along the road with a few companions, and they came across a person who was blind, crippled, paraplegic, afflicted with leprosy, you name it, all types of diseases. When Umar Farooq looked at this person, he commented to his companions walking along with him that Allah Ta'ala will question this man also about the bounties given to him, and he recited the verse from the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be question about your bounties. So the companion said to us, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, that what bounties does this person enjoy? What can he be questioned about? He's blind, he's crippled, paraplegic, dysfunctional limbs, afflicted with leprosy. So Umar Farooq said to his companions that he's able to eat his food, consume drink, digest the food, he's able to relieve himself. This also is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even about these things, we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. So that is the mindset that every mu'min should have. Let us not attribute our problems, our issues, our difficulties, our calamities towards times, towards events, towards places. Whatever happens, happens with the will of Allah. Something positive occurs, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something of a calamity takes place, make sabr, exercise patience. That something worse could have occurred, Allah Ta'ala saved us from a more worse tragedy. That is the shan of a mu'min. إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّا شَكَرَ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ذَرَّا صَبَرَ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That if some good comes to him, he thanks Allah Ta'ala. If a calamity befalls him, he turns to Allah Ta'ala with patience. Allah, you are testing me. Inshallah, my future will be brighter. So that way all these notions of these superstitions, whether it is regarding this month of Safar as an ominous month, whether it is to do with walking under a ladder, whether it is to do with a black cat darting across our path, whether it is to do with Friday the 13th, whether it is to do with the owl, whatever the case may be, these things do not cause conditions to come upon us. Allah Ta'ala is the doer. Let us place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah, we will gain proper recognition, marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will bring us closer to Him. May Allah give us all the tawfiq of having the correct mindset, correcting our beliefs, and adjusting our lifestyles to conform with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved lifestyle, the sunnah of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As usual, we will have our morning dhikr, half an hour before the adhan. Adhan here nowadays is at 10 to 5. So, at about 20 past 4, inshallah, we'll have our morning dhikr. And after Fajr Salah, one more majlis, short tafsir of the Quran. And those brothers who are sleeping over, breakfast will be served. Our next month's majlis will also be in the first week of the Islamic month, which will probably coincide, inshallah, with the 2nd of November. So the first Saturday of next month will be the first Saturday of the Islamic month, as well as the first Saturday of the English calendar. So the 2nd of November, about the 4th or the 5th of Rabiul Awwal, that will be, inshallah, our next majlis. Allah Ta'ala keep us healthy and well, inshallah, to be present for the majlis. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa anzil al-maqad al-muqarrab 'indak. Allahumma rabb hadhihi ad-da'wati al-qa'imati was-salati an-nafi'ati salli ala sayyidina Muhammad warda 'anni ridha la tashadu ba'dahu abada. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وبارك وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكن لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وزه عنا ما هو أهله وزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع خادم من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات للزاكيات للطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء تحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات للصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات والمباركات والصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.
اللهم يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأرض ويا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين واجعلنا من المهتدين واجعلنا من الداعين واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم اجرنا من النار. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان ولك الملاء ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.